We're back with our guest, T-Bone Burnett. T-Bone, you've been working in Hollywood mostly for the last 10 or 15 years, doing soundtracks for movies like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, Walk the Line, Cold Mountain. Is that a more appealing prospect creatively than making singer-songwriter records?
The working in films, there was, you know, there was tremendous sonic freedom. There was freedom with the sorts of music. You didn't have to do something that was going to sell or that was commercial.
Or had to serve a purpose in the
It's, once
film.
Again, you're serving a purpose, right? It's a specific thing you're after. And there's great freedom in that, actually. I found this new record is all about freedom, really, as a musician and as an artist, for all of us, for all the musicians. We all took complete liberties at every step. But yeah, the movies would be, you know, we were able to blow things up bigger than they would really, you would be able to do making a record, for instance. We did all this, for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, we did all this bluegrass music that people talk about. They talk about the authenticity of it, which it is authentic music. Those are authentic musicians, and it's authentic music. It's true American music that survived 100 or 200 years. But the presentation of it is gigantic. Like, there was never a bluegrass record that sounded the way that record did. It sounds more like if you listen to Man of Constant Sorrow on that record, it sounds more like a traffic record than it does a bluegrass record, really. You know, the beat, the rhythm of it, you know, got into a very modern place. It was the Coens and I always thought we were making a rock and roll record more than an authentic country record.
In constant sorrow.
Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack turned into quite a phenomenon.
Did you anticipate that it would be a successful record to that scale?
I did anticipate it would be a successful record. I didn't anticipate what actually happened with it at all. You know, I mean, it won all kinds of awards. There are sections in record stores now, you know, that weren't there before we did that record. And there's sort of an identifier now to a type of music that I guess you'd call traditional American music. It's called bluegrass sometimes. Bluegrass, you know, as a term, only started in 1963 or something like that. That was the first time that was ever used. There was a bluegrass, Bill Monroe had a festival. They called it a bluegrass festival, and that was the beginning of bluegrass. But all the stuff on that record was pre-bluegrass, you know. But, I expected it. I thought, as I looked at it, you know, I'd made several records that had sold several million copies. And I thought, this sounds just like one of those records. To me, it's it sounded like one of those big selling records that I'd done. And I also thought, we've got all these extraordinary artists, and it's a really good sound, a really modern, viable, tough sound with a lot of tensile strength. And then there was no competition. You know, it was just like a complete open field ahead of us. And I thought, if people hear this music, they'll like this. People will like this because it's good. Well, you know, the part that was unpredictable, of course, was there was that attack in New York that shook everybody up and must have had something to do with people seeking out that part of who we are. You know, that music represented a good part of who we are as a nation or as a culture, really. I think that had something to do with it.
Let us talk about Ralph Stanley's vocal performance on O Death.
You know, I'd heard this Doc Boggs version of O Death was the version I'd learned years and years ago. And when we needed there was a Klan rally. And the head of the Klan was going to sing a song, and they needed a song. So I put up the Doc Boggs version of O Death. And the Coens thought that was just right. And it was just Doc and banjo. So I said, you know, maybe let's see if we can find Ralph Stanley. I didn't know if he was still alive. I didn't. To me, I had, you know, Ralph Stanley was a big part of my early life when I was like 14 or something like that. He was one of those characters like Howlin' Wolf and Jimmy Reed who were like mythological beings to me. They seemed to live in another dimension and another time, and always related to them that way. I never really thought they ever existed, you know. I just thought this was something that came, and it was magical, and it was beautiful. And but I thought, you know, Ralph Stanley would be the guy to do it. And we met him. Sure enough, he was still at large, and he came and met with us, and he was a beautiful guy, and he agreed to do that song. At first, he was playing banjo because we thought we still had that idea of the Doc Boggs record, and he was kind of struggling with the banjo. And I mean, it's a very Doc Boggs played an old like goatskin headed banjo with, you know, it was not very it didn't have a resonator on it. We tried it for about, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half. We were playing around with it. Ralph was trying to kind of figure it out on the banjo and how he was going to get into it. And it just didn't sound right. It didn't sound like the thing we were looking for. And so I said to the Coens, you know, why don't we try this a cappella? And they said, you know, let's do. Cause you know, maybe it would be even more frightening if the Klan guy was singing a cappella to everybody, this song. And so I was walking out to the studio to say that to Ralph, and he got up and walked in, and we met each other in the doorway, and he said, you know, why don't I do this a cappella? I said, let's do.
Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Well, what is this that I can't see with thy cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk, I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour, come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold, death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You closed my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body, you make me cold, you run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age, please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all alike me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold, nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
So he walked back out. I sat down, and that's what he did, that performance. And it was hair-raising when it was going on. And it was quite a bit longer, I think, when he did it. I think it was like maybe 5 minutes long or something, the first version of it. We may have cut it down. I don't exactly remember. But I remember all of us were just hanging in rapt attention and in that sort of tension, like, oh, is something going to go wrong? Don't let anything go wrong, because it was just such a feeling of being on the razor's edge when he was doing it. And, you know, and it struck, and it translated not just to us, because when you're producing a record, in a way, you're the proxy for the artist. I mean, for the audience, right? You're the first ears that are sort of hearing it for everybody else. And it struck us so powerfully when he did it, and then it struck everyone else that way. And Elvis Costello said that when he thought, when Ralph got up and sang that at the Grammys at the Staples Center, sang "Oh Death," that was the truest response to the World Trade Center attacks that had come from the music community.
We're here with T-Bone Burnett. Back after this.